WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Plea deal in a fraud case for former Trump strategist Steve Bannon. His guilty plea means no time behind bars. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
President Trump can't do anything for Bannon in this case because these are state charges. It's a New York state case, and Trump can only get involved for federal charges.
Religious groups suing the Trump administration for the policy that gives immigration agents more latitude to detain people at houses of worship. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The groups say the new policy is an infringement of their religious freedom, namely their ability to minister to migrants, including those in the United States illegally.
President Trump's plan for the U.S. to control Gaza has its critics in Arab countries and Israel.
Very nice for him. All the blusters say we're going to do this and do that, but it's not we. It's we Israelis. So thank you very much, President Trump, but you can take your bolster elsewhere.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call have announced Wisconsin has joined another lawsuit against the Trump administration. In a press release, Governor Evers and Attorney General Call announced the state will join a coalition of 21 other states in the legal challenge. The lawsuit accuses the Trump administration, Department of Health and Human Services, and the National Institutes of Health of unlawfully cutting federal funding that supports medical and public health research. Governor Evers called the cuts unconscionable in a statement. Funding for new electric vehicle charging stations across Wisconsin is now up in the air just days after Governor Tony Evers celebrated the first ones to open in the Northwest region. In a memo last week, Federal Highway Administration officials suspended the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, which was used to build the charging stations in the region. The freeze could cost the state nearly $7 million that had already been approved for 15 projects. The state had planned to award roughly $22 million for 53 projects in total. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers made visits to Head Start programs in Superior and Eau Claire on Monday. Programs across the state have struggled to access funding due to attempts by the Trump administration to withhold federal funding. During his visits, Governor Evers highlighted the importance of the programs, both for the kids who go on to enter the public school system more prepared and for parents who can't afford childcare. The Head Start funding issues come just weeks after Governor Evers declared 2025 as the year of the kid. The L.E. Phillips Senior Center has received a massive donation from a former member of the group who passed in 2023. According to organization officials, the $2.4 million donated through Sylvia Steiner's estate is the largest donation they have ever received. They plan to put the funding into an endowment and use the proceeds to address the current and future needs of the senior center. The endowment will also allow the organization to freeze fees for seniors, which currently cost $30 annually for individuals or $50 for couples. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks drop one to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125-111. Giannis still out with that calf muscle injury. Damian Lillard scored 38. And the new guy, Kyle Kuzma, added 21 points in the loss. Still, he says it's better than being with the Wizards that had only 8 wins on the season at the time he was traded to Milwaukee.
This is just a different brand of basketball, you know what I mean? And I think that over here, obviously, possession by possession matters. Trying to finish out the break strong matters. I think that's just the only real difference.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers faced number 7th-ranked Purdue in Indiana on Saturday at noon. The Badgers now ranked 16th in the nation after a string of wins. That's 2 better than Marquette, who dropped to 18th in the nation. They're at home tonight at Fiserv Forum against DePaul, trying to snap that 3-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction. Raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
Cold and sunny today, with high temperatures staying stuck in the single digits and wind chills really making it feel sub-zero. Clouds increase tonight and snow moves in tomorrow morning. It'll be light, falling throughout the day, laying down just a couple of inches. The cold returns on Thursday ahead of more snow moving in on Friday and into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the next show, we'll talk with Flack and the campaign for lead-free water before discussing immigration in the city of Milwaukee with Mayor Cavalier Johnson and getting organized with Dr. Robert Craig.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to have an update on Gold Bar Bob.
Gold Bar Bob.
We haven't talked about him in months, and I feel like that was bad on our part.
We apologize.
So we're going to have an update on Gold Bar Bob. Bob Menendez, in case you're unfamiliar, former Democratic senator.
There it is.
Bob Menendez, and I don't know, finding a bunch of gold bars in his house like we all have. So we have a little update about him after the 11:30 news. Doobie Brothers, baby, coming back to Milwaukee. We're going to talk about that. And also, what is the one concert you really regret missing?
Yeah.
We'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the J-E-L-L No edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Excited to be joined by our next guest with the Hunger Task Force. Matt King is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if a lot of folks are aware of this, but Milwaukee struggles in some neighborhoods with food deserts, correct?
That's right. And for people who don't really know what that means, it's essentially a place or a neighborhood that has limited access to grocery stores or other sources of healthy and affordable food. Food deserts are typically characterized by a significant portion of the population being low income or living below the poverty line, and also having limited transportation.
And so they don't have many options as far as where they get foodstuffs. And unfortunately, a lot of times the closest place or the nearest place with anything is the gas station.
Yeah, there's really different ways, to measure it, whether it's like the distance to a market or their income threshold or, you know, how you really define healthy and affordable access. But I think the key is just to think about reasonable access. And in particular, I think this really ends up having a disproportionate effect on our seniors who have limited transportation, oftentimes to begin with. And then if they have any sort of mobility challenges or disabilities, it really exacerbates it.
Absolutely. So Hunger Task Force has something called the mobile market. What is the mobile market?
Yeah, so one of the solutions that we've developed in response to this issue is the mobile market, which is a partnership that we have with Piggly Wiggly. And it's essentially a grocery store on wheels that travels around the city, visiting neighborhoods and communities that have limited access to fresh and healthy foods. So Monday through Friday, it makes a couple stops a day. And along with other staples, the shelves are stocked with healthy selection of fruits, vegetables, milk, chicken, beef, pork, deli meat, cheese, yogurt, kind of all the healthy staples that you'd expect. And oftentimes we bring it to areas like senior residential facilities so that where there's a lot of low-income seniors without reasonable access to a market, and they can just come downstairs and shop on the mobile market. We do offer a discount, so it's 25% off of the grocery store prices. Wow. So we also kind of augment it, you know, with a discount to make it accessible.
I think, Matt, for some folks who might be listening, it's like, well, don't these people have kids? Don't they have grandchildren who can go grocery shopping for them? There are a lot of people who don't have anybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of times they do have that. And they use the mobile market, you know, just to kind of get a few things in between that help that they get from their family. But yeah, we do know, of course, that a lot of seniors are on their own. And not only that, they are on a fixed income. And as the prices around us have all skyrocketed, they find themselves making tough decisions between their medication and the healthy food that they need.
Do you find when we're talking about food deserts, there are some people out there who are so ingrained in food deserts, they might even not know the best foods to buy. You're talking about healthy foods, fruits and vegetables, you know, your dairies and your meats. Do you find the people who are running the mobile markets are also in a way teaching people, like, here are the best foods for you to buy, here's what you can do with them, here's what you can make to make it last longer, things like that? Is there even a teaching component to it for those who may not have experience going grocery shopping on a regular basis?
Yeah, I know that's a really thoughtful point. And we also consider that we do have nutrition education that is a component of the mobile market. So there's even times where, you know, kind of like if you're at Costco and you're tasting things as you shop, that yeah. will have, you know, healthy recipes that are already prepared. So then people get a taste for how they can use some of the components that are available on the mobile market to make a healthy recipe that not only is healthy, but also tastes good.
If you're just joining us, Matt King is on the line with us from the Hunger Task Force, and we're talking about the Hunger Task Force mobile market. Who is eligible for this, Matt? Who can take advantage of this mobile market?
Yeah, so the mobile market's available to anybody to shop at, but we do also accept SNAP, or in Wisconsin, what's food share, also known as food stamps. So we do accept that. It accepts debit cards, credit cards. There's no cash, just, you know, for security as it's traveling around the city. But yeah, it is accessible to anyone. And actually, this past year in 2024, we had just shy of 13,000 people that shopped on the mobile market.
I would imagine that you've only seen the need increase.
Yeah, the need has really risen in particular over the last few years, you know, as we saw the end of all of the, you know, pandemic era resources and benefits, but then compounded by the inflation, you know, that we've all experienced, and, you know, virtually the high cost of everything. But in particular, the number one thing that people are saying about why they are seeking help with food is the cost of housing, and how dramatically the cost of housing has gone up. And, you know, for parents with kids, they oftentimes they're going to make the decision to keep the roof over the head and skip meals. And that's the reality.
You even see stories of parents who are skipping meals to feed their children, like all these awful decisions they have to make. Is it the one vehicle, or do you have more than one going through the neighborhoods?
So we have one vehicle. It makes two stops a day. So there's 35 different stops each month currently. People can, if they want to know where they can find it, they can go to hungertaskforce.org. And we have a full list of all the stops where they can access it.
Among some of your stops, and I'm just looking at the calendar that you have the Penfield Children's Center. You also have the Thompson Meadows Apartments in St. Francis. So you really do travel all mm-hmm. over the place to be accessible to as many folks as possible. We're talking to Matt King from the Hunger Task Force about their mobile market, which is open to everyone, and we will include a link in our show notes. If you have any questions about this, just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to our show notes for that day. And Greg puts all the links in so you can check this out for yourself. I'm wondering, Matt, how concerned you are at Hunger Task Force. And you may not know this off the top of your head, but do you get a lot of federal funding, a lot of federal aid to run the Hunger Task Force?
Yeah, Hunger Task Force does not rely upon federal funding to operate. But what would really affect our work is cuts to school meal programs, which is something that's being considered right now at the federal level. Making changes to the accessibility of school breakfast and school lunches. And, you know, the last thing we need right now is to see a spike in childhood hunger across the country.
This is it's already a terrible problem, childhood hunger. And now we're talking about getting rid of free breakfast and lunches at schools, which is only going to exacerbate this problem. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know that poor nutrition has a significant impact on cognitive development and children's ability to learn. And so nutrition's key to setting our kids up for success. And for areas like Milwaukee that has high childhood poverty rate, it would be really devastating to see, you know, that kind of effect on kids' ability to, you know, transcend those circumstances that they're born into and use education as a vehicle, you know, to advance out of it.
Matt, in about the 2 minutes that we have left, no organization like the Hunger Task Force is able to operate without volunteers. So if you want to volunteer for the Hunger Task Force, what are some of the options available for folks who might be listening?
Yeah, we utilize volunteers throughout the year. We rely heavily on community support. We incorporate over 15,000 volunteers on an annual basis, doing everything from packing food boxes for our local seniors, to working at the mobile market, to harvesting the fresh produce on our farm. Really across the board, we incorporate volunteers, and people can go to hungertaskforce.org, click on the volunteer tab if they're interested in learning more, sharing it with others, or signing up yourself.
We talk about this quite a bit, Matt. You know, we always talk about loneliness in this country and how that is a growing problem. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the greatest ways to help alleviate some of that is joining an organization like Hunger Task Force. It gets you out of the house. It gets you among other folks, doing something good for the community. And I just think that that's a win-win right. for everybody.
Yeah, it feels good to give back. And we really see our volunteers kind of developing a bond with each other. So it's a great social experience as well.
Matt King, rather, from the Hunger Task Force, thank you so very much for your time. Check out our show notes after the show is over, civicmedia.us. Click on Matt Nair on Air. Matt King, thank you for your time. Stay close. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties, en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
93.5 The Tap.
Golden dreams of you.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, we will lighten it up for the last half hour of the show. Doobie Brothers are coming to town. Four original members.
Mostly-ish. They've been in the band for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you pulled up how many people have been in the Doobie Brothers over the years. It's like several thousand.
Yeah, folks, if you're listening to this, you get to be in the Doobie Brothers like next week.
So. Seriously. So we're going to talk about that. And then the concert you regret missing the most.
Yeah.
And I have one, probably two, that, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have skipped that one.
Oh, I have the concert. It's been with me since 1994.
Oh, driving him crazy. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we have been meaning to do this for a while.
Yep.
It is important. I do think it's important because we can contrast and compare.
Yes.
How political parties treat their own members when they do something naughty.
And also for people who come at us saying, you never talk about liberals and
that's not
Democrats.
True.
Wrongo.
Headline reads, former U.S. Senator Robert Menendez sentenced to 11 years in prison for bribery, foreign agent, and obstruction offenses. This is from justice.gov. Two New Jersey businessmen who paid out bribes were also sentenced to 97 months and 7 years in prison. If you don't remember this as well as we do, just a little refresher. Bob Menendez, a Democratic senator from New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
was in trouble for essentially working on behalf of the Egyptian government.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to do.
Random country, by the way, right?
Well, like, I think his wife had connections.
Yeah.
That's how that all happened.
Okay.
But when they started investigating old Gold Bar Bob, they found he accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bribes from these three guys who were working on behalf of the Egyptian government. These included gold bars, cash, a luxury convertible, payments toward his wife's mortgage, compensation for a low or no show job for his wife, home furnishings, and other things of value. When they raided his house, they found almost $500,000 in cash stuffed into envelopes and hidden in clothing, closets, and a safe. Many of the envelopes contained the fingerprints of Gold Bar Bob. Agents also found home furnishings, a luxury vehicle, and over $100,000 worth of gold bars in his home. Do you remember what he said at the time that they found all that stuff?
Doesn't everybody do that?
He came from a poor childhood.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's important for him to have cash on hand in case something goes wrong.
Okay. You know what? Viable excuse.
To an extent.
But like, I am two generations away from the Great Depression. I remember stories that my grandma would tell us about when she died. We found Saran wrap socked away, clothespins socked away, cash socked away, because you never knew. I understand that thinking with gold bar, Bob, to a point. But when we're talking about $100,000 in gold and cash,
almost $1 million in cash.
I mean, sorry, but you aren't suffering. Like, you don't, let me put it this way, Bob Menendez, you don't live the you never know lifestyle. Well, you do now because you farted around and you found out. But before they kicked in the door, you weren't living the lifestyle. This could all go away tomorrow.
I could lose it all.
I could lose all of my gold bars.
Yeah. And again, just as a reminder,
yeah,
when this came out, Democrats called for him to step down.
One of the first people to call for him to step down was his colleague from New Jersey, Senator Cory Booker.
Yeah.
He said step down. It was overwhelming to the point where the Republicans were even like, well, let's just not say anything. Let's let them handle this. There wasn't really an outcry from Republicans on this because at the time they were also dealing with what's-his-face from New York, George Santos. Well, that's probably one of his names as well. But like, there was a lot going on with them. So when Menendez came around, the Democrats were like, leave, get out.
We don't want you.
Yeah. And then he became an independent.
That didn't help him either.
No.
On the flip side, Steve Bannon, of course, former top White House aide to President Donald Trump, pleaded guilty today in connection with defrauding hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters who contributed more than $15 million to Steve Bannon's promise to build a wall on the U.S. border. The 71-year-old Steve Bannon, sentenced to 3 years of conditional discharge, meaning he won't serve any prison time.
No.
This is part of a plea deal.
Yeah.
I don't remember any Republicans coming out and saying Steve Bannon needs to go to prison for defrauding Donald Trump's own supporters and buying a yacht.
Yeah.
Silence.
No, of course.
Nothing. There was nothing.
No.
No outrage. Just, I guess that's just Steve.
It's just what happens. I mean, Jane, I don't know. I don't know those details. So I'm going to have to look into that. I'll have to get back to you on it.
Right. But do some research.
But Jane, do not worry. Do not worry. Just this day, either yesterday or this morning, Donald Trump signed an executive order directing the DOJ to halt the enforcement of anti-laws for foreign officials. So, Bob Menendez, you may be looking at yourself a very shiny pardon.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Trump administration just essentially said, go ahead, if you have an American business, bribe some overseas officials to get what you want. No problem.
Yep.
Go for it.
Yep.
Blessings. Blessings.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Be blessed. Blessings.
So, Bob Menendez is sitting there in prison going, oh, baby, I can't wait to become a Republican.
Here's my chance. Oh. We could put bets on that.
Okay, so today is the 11th of February. It's Tuesday. It is Central Time. It is 11:28. Just remember this time and day.
How long is it going to take?
Before he gets pardoned and before he becomes a Republican and before he runs for office again.
News is coming up next. Then we're talking the one concert you really regret missing. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. We go global if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced fire crews will begin conducting prescribed burns across the state when weather conditions allow. According to a press release, recent snowfall has created much better conditions for the controlled burns in certain areas. The prescribed burns are meant to provide the ecological benefits of naturally occurring wildfires, while also decreasing the risk of wildfires burning out of control in the future when drier conditions return. Burn plans can be found on the DNR's prescribed burn dashboard. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is assuring residents that the free IRS direct file system still remains a safe and secure option for this year's tax season. The program allows residents to file their federal income taxes directly with the IRS for free and is also integrated with the Department of Revenue's state tax system. Officials say the system features secure data transmission, identity verification, and is under continuous monitoring by the IRS for security threats. Residents can check their eligibility for the program on the IRS website. As Eau Claire officials work to increase the affordable housing stock in the area, a temporary transit center could become a future option. City officials say the site's proximity to local public transit options and the downtown area makes it a promising candidate to have costs subsidized through the low-income housing tax credit program. They also say any plans for affordable housing at the site would be a long-term goal, and for now the plan is to convert it into additional parking after the new transit center opens in the coming months. A former Menominee High School staffer has been sentenced after being found guilty of sexual assault of a student. According to court documents, 23-year-old Quentin Williams was sentenced to 5 years of probation and required to register as a sex offender for 15 years. He was originally charged with 3 counts of sexual assault, but only found guilty on one, with the other two read into the record. Williams was arrested after authorities were told about a video taken by the involved student, who admitted to having communication and sexual contact with him. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number two and three from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cold and sunny today, with high temperatures staying stuck in the single digits and wind chills really making it feel sub-zero. Clouds increase tonight and snow moves in tomorrow morning. It'll be light, falling throughout the day, laying down just a couple of inches. The cold returns on Thursday ahead of more snow moving in on Friday and into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, do you think what Trump is doing is actually working? I'm going to break it all down about the real strategy and how it will impact you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call and or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up in about 15 minutes, last segment of the show, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Last half hour of the show, we'd like to lighten things up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we can all take a breath.
We got to take a breath.
Take a breath. A little audio sorbet.
Ooh, you know what?
You like that?
I really think that, and hey.
T-shirt, maybe?
Hey, other Civic Media shows, that's ours. I'm looking right at you, Dom Salvia.
Matt Nair on air, audio sorbet. We'll work on that. We'll work on the T-shirts and the merch. But saw this in the Journal Sentinel this morning from Chris Foran. Doobie Brothers, Coral Reefer Band, going to play AmFam Amphitheater this summer. 4 years after bringing their 50th anniversary tour to the BMO Pavilion, the Doobies coming back to the Meyer Festival Park on a much larger stage. They have a new album.
Yeah.
The Doobie Brothers have a new album called Walk This Road coming out in June. So they're going to hit the AmFam Amphitheater on September 9th, and the tickets go on sale to the general public this Friday. Pre-sales 10 a.m. today. So they're already pre-sales, already on sale at thedoobiebrothers.com.
Hey, Doobie Brothers, you want to come on the radio and talk about your new album and tour? You can do that. We would love to come to your location in Milwaukee when you're here. Just throw some tickets our way. It's fine.
Michael McDonald, if you're listening, you're welcome on the show anytime.
Michael McDonald, do you want to talk to Jade and Greg in the morning?
Pat Kreitlow, huge fan of the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be very excited about this.
I really think that we need to go.
I'd love to go to that
show. I
think
we really need to go.
September 9th, when the Doobies going to be back in town, and Michael McDonald is still part of the lineup. Three others, kind of the anchors of the Doobies.
So Michael McDonald returned to the band a few years ago for their reunion tour.
Right.
They were celebrating 50 years as a band.
Right.
Because he left the group in the mid-80s because he just got so popular as a solo artist. But the four guys who are the main ones now, it's Michael McDonald, two gentlemen who have been in the band like since the beginning.
Cool.
I can't remember their names right now. And then another guy who's been in since the 80s. So this is like a real reunion tour. This is like we see these reunion tours where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Don Henley and company.
Yeah.
No offense to Timothy B. Schmidt and Joe Walsh, but like.
It shouldn't be, you know, Michael McDonald and his cousins.
Yeah. Like when they fired Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, I'm like, oh, that's it. The band's done. Oh, no, they got four new members. That's just okay, cool. As Pete Townsend once called it, in the 80s, we were the Who on ice. Because it was just a big spectacle at that point. It really wasn't about the band members. When I go see a band, I want to see the band members. Then it just turns into what can be a state fair type of show. It doesn't matter who's playing the music.
Right.
They're just playing the music you like.
Right.
It's not about seeing
these
individuals.
The original guys. So I guess this leads us to our question about what concert do you regret missing out on?
Okay.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is the one concert you still go, I wish I had gone to that show. Tom from Jackson texting in on WAUK. I miss Tom Petty. Darn. I have friends who were at that show who said it was the best show they'd ever seen.
Tom Petty was one of those guys, and I think anyone who missed him will agree. You always said this. He'll be back next year. He comes every year. It's fine. And then I remember the first, like, and that was like, I think that was the year that all of these artists were dying, like Prince, Lemmy, David Bowie, Tom Petty, all these guys were going, and you're just like, oh, I could have gone.
I should have gone.
And that was sort of before concert tickets were just offensively expensive, too. Yeah. It was expensive to see Tom Petty, but now, if he was touring now, if he was still alive, those tickets would probably be $200 a piece because he's Tom Petty.
Yeah. Patrick from the 608, listening in Madison on WMDX, the concert I regret missing, U2, the Zoo Tour.
Oh, that was 1991, I believe, at Camp Randall Stadium.
Oh, at Camp Randall.
Yeah, and that was like a full-on multimedia experience, too. This was not just like four guys from Ireland singing songs of woe and
it was a show.
It was like basically Vegas type of thing.
Len from Madison, the Doobie Brothers are still smoking. I agree with you. Absolutely. Cam from Appleton, I wish I didn't go to Van Halen.
yeah. I mean, that's the same. But you know what's funny is the same thing from people who go see Motley Crue. If you look on YouTube, you can see. So Vince Neil is still in the band. He can't sing. And when I say he can't sing, Jane, I don't mean like he's going sharps and flats. I mean, he'll be like, bah!
Oh, he's really lost his voice.
It's gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's really gone. I do take issue with John from West Bend listening to WAUK. He said the best part of the Doobie Brothers concert is the opening band, Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reef Band. Disagree.
You can disagree.
It's the Doobie Brothers who are going to be great. I think it's very weird that Jimmy Buffett's band is touring just because I didn't know that they were a...
Jimmy would want that.
True.
Jimmy would want that.
Make your money, guys. Make your money.
855-752-4842. What concert did you miss? And you go, I wish I had seen that show. Whistler is on the line from Richland Center. I love your name. Good morning, Whistler. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I just wanted to say the Newby Brothers, back in 74, I had the opportunity to attend the Rolling Stones concert, July 4th, 1974, in Dallas.
Yeah.
And the Doobie Brothers and the Eagles were one of the lead-ups to the Stones.
Oh! Oh, that would...
1974, I believe, after I got out of the service.
Oh, we lose you, Whistler?
I don't know. I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Okay, so did you go to the show or not?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was living in Corpus Christi, Texas, and this lady friend had tickets, and we drove up to Dallas. It was awesome.
Oh, nice. That must have been an incredible show. Thank you, Whistler. That must have been fantastic.
Matt from Middleton listening in says, I had tickets to Faith No More in Austin. Very, very amazing band. Didn't go because I was seeing music so often live living there. Complete regret. Yeah, that can be the thing too. When you go to so many concerts, you might think,
I can skip that one, right?
Yep.
855-752-4842. What show did you miss? And you're like, that was a mistake. Rick from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Rick. Which concert did you pass over?
Well, there's a few of them. I got martial arrest at Summerfest when they had a riot. I think it was Chicago. It stormed and they closed it down. Then there was Sly and the Family Stone at Summerfest. Sly never showed up.
That makes
sense. He was late like 27 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. So we sat there forever and he never showed up. Finally, they said he's not gonna.
But you didn't give up, Rick.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Doobie Brothers, if you have any connections in Chicago with the Chicago band, they perform together a lot.
I have no connections.
Well, we'll work on that, yeah. Rick. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Rick. 855-752-4842. What concert did you pass over? And you're like, that was a mistake. Tom from Jackson, I didn't get to see Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, and Animals at County Stadium. Tom, I was at the Animal show.
He did or didn't? He said, I did get to see.
Oh, I did get to see. Tom, you and I were at the Animal show.
So that's so amazing because that's my concert, 1994, Pink Floyd touring on the Pulse tour. They came to Camp Randall. It was one of like the last Camp Randall shows that happened. And my parents wouldn't let me go because they were going out of town that weekend and they were afraid. And talk about a situation where you'd be like, all right, I won't go. And you go, I should have went. They wouldn't have known unless something happened. But I didn't see Pink Floyd. And then one of the, that is the biggest concert regret of my life because they never toured again.
They never came back. If you would like to join us, what concert did you miss and you still regret it? Al from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, turn down your radio,
Al. Turn down your radio. I'm getting a little feedback there. Al? Hello, right. Al.
Well,
we'll move on to Jack. Yeah. Al, you're there.
There you are.
Yeah.
What's your show?
The Beatles in Milwaukee.
Were you there or you missed it?
I missed it.
Did you have tickets?
13. No.
Oh, okay.
But I was a big Beatles fan and still am.
My aunt.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate you checking in.
My aunt Barbara was at that show. She saw the Beatles in Milwaukee when they were here.
I know my oldest sisters wanted to.
So what she actually saw was a theater full of screaming. She didn't hear so much the Beatles. I got a text from a friend and a listener, Caitlin, listening in Milwaukee. She says, I didn't really have a choice in missing the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony of the class, including Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, T-Rex. She had tickets, and then COVID happened. She would have loved to have seen some of those reunion performances.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I bet.
Absolutely.
What concert did you pass over that you will always regret? What was the show? 855-752-4842. Carrie, listening in Madison on WMDX. Grateful Dead, summer of 1995. Oh, yeah. I said no, and then Jerry died.
Well, you can still see him now.
My biggest regret ever.
Yeah, that was a big one. Oh, yeah.
Ross from Crawford County, listening on WRCE. I had so many chances to see the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton and just didn't quite make it. I still kind of regret that. The one that I think about the most was the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they hadn't been touring for a while, mm-hmm. and then they came back out on tour, and at that point, they were charging something like $200 a ticket.
Yep.
I was so ticked off about that.
Absolutely.
I called it the greed tour.
Yeah.
And I refused to go.
I mean,
I would love to have seen the Eagles.
I mean, I don't even imagine how much Eagle tickets cost now.
Right.
$200 back then is it's expensive now, but it's absolutely like just ridiculous, though. excuse me. Sarah in Green Bay says Page and Plant in Milwaukee, 1995. My sister had tickets. Her car broke down.
Oh, no.
We didn't have a ride. Oh.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Oh, yeah. There's so many good and now it's like at the point where I won't go see a concert unless I love the band so much. I'm willing to spend the money and take the time to be in a room full of people.
And that's it. The whole huge crowd thing is not a draw for me.
Agreed.
So it would take a whole lot of love.
If the Doobies said we're never touring again and Michael McDowell's like, this is my last tour, I think I want to go to this show, but I'm not sure yet.
We're going to go.
Okay.
We're going to go.
All right.
Jack from Merrimack, you're going to wrap it up. We just got about a minute and a half left. Jack, what did you want to say?
Many years ago, I got tickets to a Grateful Dead concert. And one of their early concerts, actually. And at dinner that night, my girlfriend had baked me, baked both of us, actually, a bunch of coconut crunch brownies. Except the coconut wasn't coconut. Yeah. The coconut we had in the ride there, that's a concert I missed. And I wish I had not.
Jack, why didn't you go to the concert? Dessert.
Don't take the coconut brownies, man.
Yeah,
avoid the coconut brownies. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. All right, we are out of time. When we return, we're going to wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Oh, by the way, Ivan's no longer on the project. His wife got a new job, so they're moving across the country.
Robin's top researcher is deviating to a new market. This isn't standard.
And now we're short-staffed. Who's going to finish all these projects?
She needs a cluster of new data analysts, and there's no margin for error.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a 5-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin, on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about concerts you missed and you wish you hadn't. Brought this up because the Doobie Brothers are going to be coming back.
Yeah.
Very excited. We're going to go.
Okay.
I want to go to that
show.
Me,
you, and Kreitlo?
Yeah. I think that would be great. But we had one more text come in that I wanted to share. Donna from DeForest, listening on WAUK. My dad had tickets to see the Bee Gees at Madison Coliseum in the late 70s. He was driving home past the venue, saw the crowd streaming out, and realized he forgot to go.
Oh, and that, folks, if we're talking late 70s, that's the height of Bee Gees, like, Saturday Night Fever sound.
Absolutely.
Which is so good.
Yeah.
Anyone who tells you disco sucks, not your friend.
It was of the time. There was a place for it.
But it's still good today. It still has that good beat, that good danceability. There's still, there's no, oh,
can't,
I love disco.
Can't beat the Bee Gees.
Exactly.
Coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media and host of Amicus, a Law Review, is going to join us at 10:33 to talk about the legalities or potential illegalities of the first 3 weeks in this new Trump administration. Dan Schaefer, who normally joins us on Fridays, will be here tomorrow. He's taking Friday off, so we'll have a lot to talk about with Dan Schaefer. That is all coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, it's 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Jane says at civicmedia.us. This from the New York Post byline, Tracy Swartz. Headline reads, I've lost 30 pounds on a diet of butter, meat, and golden jello.
Ugh.
I also no longer have gas or have brain fog. Okay.
Says no. At all.
A vegan turned carnivore is sharing now that her high fat diet caused her to lose 30 pounds also cleared up cystic acne, psoriasis, and eczema, and extinguished her gaseousness, brain fog, and PMS.
Paid off my school loans, made up with a bully from grade school.
It's amazing.
It does everything.
Juilliard trained concert pianist Isabella Ma bit into a stick of cold, unsalted butter as she explained her secret to weight loss on TikTok. She pairs baked chicken wings and 80-20 burgers, so it's 80% lean and 20% fat, with butter and the special golden jello recipe.
Oh, please, Jane, inform us of what goes inside the golden jello.
Golden jello is made by placing oxtail, and chicken drums in a pressure cooker for about an hour. You take out the meat. The remains are chilled in a refrigerator overnight to form a collagen-filled gelatinous bone broth. From what I understand, it's basically aspic. It's meat.
Watch your mouth.
It's meat juice jello.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
A previous version of her diet plan included sunny side up eggs, fried in beef fat, and sparkling water. She says she embraced the carnivore lifestyle in 2019. This has become more popular. Oh, God. The one thing this does, though, that you need to keep in mind if you're thinking about, ooh, I'm going to try this. Red meat, butter, and cheese are very high in saturated fat that can really spike your LDL cholesterol,
yep,
which raises the risk of heart disease and stroke.
Yep.
We do need fruits and veggies, you guys. There are things in there that are good for us.
No, we don't, Jay, because they've got unnecessary fats in them that you don't want in your body. I heard that once on a TikTok from a girl who played piano.
Are you eating your jello like that as it is? Said one commenter on her TikTok. I cannot stomach the smell and taste. Another person said, good job at contributing to one of the most polluting industries, talking about the meat industry, I assume. Yeah. A carnivore diet is so selfish. Our earth is dying. Again, you do what you want. You research it. Golden jello, meat jello is a hard no from me.
You know how the age-old idea that vegans are insufferable, which isn't really true. I know a lot of vegans, and I used to be a vegan. I never pushed it on anybody. The only more insufferable vegan is the vegan who stops being a vegan and tells you how much better it is not being a vegan.
My life is so much better
eating
now.
All the meat in the world.
Eating a stick of butter and beef and then meat jello.
We got to put a Google alert on this name because I don't want anything bad to happen to her, but this is the kind of diet that would be like, influencer found like dead in bedroom surrounded by butter.
By meat jello.
Yeah.
And sticks of butter.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, Dom Salvia, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m., Bach in the Dock. Early morning, 6 to 8 this week. That's join Craig, right, and Dr. Kristen Lionerly from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Don't forget, we have weather coming in tomorrow.
Yes.
511wi.gov. Mm-hmm. Check that website. Download the app so you can check on road conditions. They're talking about 5 to 9 inches. So we will keep you updated on that. Please be careful. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and listening. It's so much fun, and it absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former police officer and podcaster Mark Motorson, who will discuss a fun true crime event at the Appleton Historical Society. And our pal film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A guilty plea means no time behind bars for former Trump strategist Steve Bannon in his Build the Wall fraud case. CBS's Katrina Kaufman on one of the conditions.
He's not allowed to use any of the donor data because they got hundreds of thousands of donations from hundreds of thousands of people in the scheme. So he can't use or sell any of that data.
President Trump, as he meets with Jordan's king, reiterates a call for Hamas to release all hostages by this weekend. Israel's prime minister says fighting could then resume in Gaza. This man in Jerusalem is concerned.
To say that we're going to squash you and kill you even more plays into Hamas's hands and plays out of our hands.
Pope Francis, critical of the Trump mass deportation plan, saying it will end badly. Border czar John Homan fires back.
We should stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us.
Leave border enforcement to us, he says. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.